I can't stress enough to first-time guests, if there's any, how my heart hopes for the lost of this world to find Jesus. I was once lost, extremely lost. Loss would be an understatement. And this series that you just happened to stumble in on today is actually directed towards Christian disciples. So if like you don't know Jesus, go, I don't sweat nothing this dude's saying. Unless God says you should sweat something this dude's saying. I don't want to get in the way of that. And also, I need grace. Ever get into a really good series, like watch TV series? Anybody watch a TV series? You get into a good one, and the first episode grips you. You're like, I'm in. And the second one's like, oh, it was okay. But the first one was good enough that you just stayed in. This is episode two. See, if last week was like, whoa, this week's like, well, just hang on. Just hang on a little bit with me, you know, just remember, you know. My other disclaimer is this. If you have ever fallen on your face, maybe even a few times, when trying to keep God's word, anybody fallen on their face a few times trying to keep God's word? Know this. I want you to know that that's you. Know this. All have fallen short. All have sinned, right? All. Say all. That's all. All but Jesus. That's the amazing thing, right? All. So if you have repented, and you've been starting to go forward in some stuff, that's awesome. I don't want any shame to ever come out of this pulpit to hit you and think it's something you should wear. We've all been forgiven from shame. But sometimes as Christian disciples, we need to hear stuff we don't want to hear. And I don't like to preach those things, to be honest with you. It's not how you grow the church, typically. But if maybe some things you need to hear, then maybe it's good to hear them. I don't know. His image must show his image. Say, we are his image. We learned that last week. So we should show his image. Not my image, trust me. You know, it's not the easiest stuff to talk about, some stuff. But honestly, there needs to be a distinction between Christians and the world. There needs to be. Christians are called to be like Christ, right? To follow his image. So let's dive into identity crisis and pray. Father, episode two, help me only say things that you want me to say. And help me deliver the heart that you have. You would crush Pastor Sean into fine dust and blow him out the ventilator. And you would continue to be here in your word like you always exist in. I thank you for your presence and worship when I ask you continue to be in your word this morning. In Jesus' name, the church said, amen. Say identity crisis. Say it again so I can get a drink. Okay, great. I made an effort to be brief today. Like most people are like, yeah. All the guys are like, sweet. You know, I made an effort to be brief today. It was a long week, and the media team deserved a break. So that was one reason. The second reason was his word sometimes is so meaty, you can serve too much of it. Sometimes you ever go to a meal, like if you ever go to an Italian home during a holiday, they'll make you eat till you throw up, then they'll bring you back in and give you cookies. No mas, you know, I know. But that's just the way it is, you know. I know Hispanic families are that way too. You can't get out of there. You know, you don't like cheese, eat some cheese. I can't. Eat it. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But some Polynesians, yeah, like I eat with good people, as you see as everything. But sometimes it's just too much meat to press in to people, you know. And I want to save some time at the end to have communion today. We try to do it monthly, and I want to reflect on our need for Jesus. That's what communion is thank you. If you know him, it's like thank you. Thank you for that commitment. Thank you for that covenant. I'm recommitting to that. Thank you what you've done. And other things, it shows appreciation, brings us together as community. And also community is a place to go, wow, I need forgiveness. And I need it right now. And I'm ready to make a commitment to do what Jesus asked me to do. So communion is beautiful. It covers all those things, right? Say identity crisis. So last week we covered so much, right? You remember every second of it. And we all agreed that there's a big identity crisis, right, in the world today. Can you agree with that, right? And how it has affected and infected the question of who are you, right? The world's culture is, I'm going to just be brief on this. The world's culture has been abusive and misusive. I talked about 1 in 3 girls have been sexually assaulted, 1 in 5 boys. If you do the math around the room, how can that not hurt the image of what God intended? Abuse never causes good things. Never does. So we can't be shocked that there's cultural confusion, right? Can't be shocked. But you know, it's not just the world that's an identity crisis. It's the church. Can you agree with the church sometimes has an identity crisis? We know who we are, we think, but sometimes we, right? So do you agree? Give me a hand. Do you think the church has, yeah. Say, I am the church. Oh, no. Starting off strong, Pastor. Often people can quote who they are, right, and memorize scripture, right? They can spit it. As soon as you say, who are you? I am the righteous God of Christ Jesus. Boom. And then they'll shoot the verse at you. Well, thank you very much, but a memorized scripture doesn't mean you understand it or you're applying it because your life seems to be in crisis. So here's a power verse I want to pour all over today's stack of pancakes, okay? It's like saturating it with syrup. And I purposely did not, I was going to put a picture, Dave, of a stack of pancakes with butter dripping down and syrup, Alejandro, like, but I knew I'd lose half the guys. Like, you can't, they'd be gone. The rest of them would be like, man, those pancakes. What'd you get out of service, Mark? Oh, no, man, we got to go to IHOP. You know, so I didn't do that. Now, even saying that to him, he's like, Wendy, that's a good idea. You know, IHOP. Get off the pancakes, Mark. This is just syrup, you know. But this is the syrup. I just want us to remember to let saturate the things that get said today. Let it soak in, okay? Romans 12:2 in the NLT. Usually I'm an amplified guy. I'm all over in translations today. Romans 12:2 NLT. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. It's already tense. That's our intent, you know. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you. Let God transform you. Transform you into what? A new person. By what? By the changing the way you think. Anybody occasionally need adjustment to your thought process? Yeah, I'll tell you where it's worse, from like 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. What are those drones about? What's happening? Should I be praying for Andrew right now? Just ever get in your head, man, just whew. Always pray for Andrew, Justin says. Good call, good call. But transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Why? Then you will learn to know God's will for you. We don't change the way we think. We don't start thinking the way God thinks. As disciples, remember, if we don't start doing that, how are you going to know his will? So be transformed first, and it changes what you can know. Let transformation, everybody wants to know God so intimately first, let him change you a little bit so you can get into his presence a little deeper. But we always want to go like 0 to 100. And there's steps and stages in life, in case anyone's not noticed that. God's will for you, which is good, what is it? God's will for you is good and pleasing and perfect. If you have a question about what God thinks about what he wants for you, his will for you is good. Say good. Pleasing. That's satisfying, right? You know, like, wow, that was a good meal. I'd have that again. So it's good, pleasing, and perfect. Wow, perfect for me. Sometimes does it look like it's perfect for you? No. I often, remember the criticism to critique ratio? 11 criticisms to 1 affirmation means divorce is imminent in a couple. This is for professional marriage and counseling, where Dr. Heidi went pro. You know, she's an all-star. And we teach that. But we talked about our prayer lives. How many are critiques or what God could do better, what we want, or he could do this, or he could do that, or please do this, or please do that. And how often do we give him our adoration versus what we give him as critique, right? And we wonder why our relationship's a little fractured. Just trying to help us out. Say, God's will, for me, is perfect. So that's the syrup today, Jeff. That's the syrup, okay? All right. Pancake stack is this. Let's recap. I think we did it in three slides. First slide. This is what we've learned so far in just the first week of the series. I am created with a gender to represent God's image. Okay, I paused well enough. I am his child. I am made new. I am invited to all God planned for me. I have been made to be a doer. Next one. I have been given membership in his family. That's better than a Costco card. I am being built to be a place. I'm being built. It's a process, right? To be a place where what? God can be found dwelling in. So when people can't find God, they can go to the church. Say, I am the church. So that's where that's going to be. We're going to build a place that God can dwell in our lives, right? I'll tell you. Number eight, Christians can't identify with things that God calls sin. Not say you're not going to sin, but you can't identify and say, well, that's what I'm going to do anyways. No matter what God says, I'm going to identify with that. There's things that God says you can't do that with. Christians can't identify with things that God calls sin. Número nueve. Nine. Don't laugh at my Spanish. Christians can't identify with anything above God and his ways. He's first, nothing else. We sang it this morning. He's first. Coming back to my first love, you get first fruits. You were my first above all things, right? We are his church, and he expects us to carry his message. He expects us to carry his message. So often I have a message I could carry. But he expects me to carry his message. So I am the church now. So that was last week. Today, say identity crisis. Galatians 2:20 in the Amplified. I have been crucified with Christ. It's a good place to pause. Christians should die it being about their way and what they want to focus on. If you're a Christian, what that says is, I'm going to die to my way and what I want to focus on. That was part of the contract and covenant agreement with accepting Jesus. How many times have you found it easy to die? Oh, my goodness. I want to do this. I want to do this, and it's not even a sin. It's just an extra bowl of ice cream. What? Come on. This should be the commitment when we accepted his offer for our sin, death of our own life. We made an exchange. Right. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. It's Bob here. I can't. Bob, say Bob, be the manger. Yeah, carry the presence. Be the manger, Bob. I always got to get on to him. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith. That sounds pretty. I live by faith. I live by adhering to. I live by adhering to. I live by trying to apply his word to my life every day by adhering to. That's faith, because it's not what we always want to do, right? I live by adhering to, relying on, and completely trusting in the Son of God. Anybody have a hard time with complete trust in anything? Yeah, I'll look around for people going, no, because I really I'd like to talk to you. Honestly, you know. Mm-hmm. That was a hard thing for me. I had a lot of trust broken, but God's built up such a relationship that he's caused me to see how much I can trust him. And I still sometimes don't always right away. Anybody? He's working on building a life of faith. But I'm supposed to live by adhering to, relying on, and completely trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Now, I have a picture of how that feels inside my heart. Do I have my picture? Yeah. That blows my mind. That blows my mind. To this day, it's mind-blowing that that's available to me. Like, you still really think that way about me? Who are you? Are you a Christian? I have the first question for Are You a Christian in slide two. I think this is the first. I got a lot of slides today. How dead are you to your own will? That's a New Year's ponder, isn't it? Yeah, ponder that for a while. I was going to put the Jeopardy music up, but again, no one's installed the button. Mark. 1 John 3, 1 through 10. Power verses. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. Say, I am his child. Right? Who are you? I am his child. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children. Because why? They don't know him. They don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. The cool thing about this is he came one time, remember the manger, the death, burial, and resurrection. And he also said this, I'm going to return too. And he says, I want to return to, and I'm going to look at my bride and see what she, he's going to check her out. Say, I am a bride. Brian, I know that's uncomfortable. You got to say it. Okay. But we do not know what we'll be like. We do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. Keeping any type of purity requires diligent maintenance. You know how often I got to check the chlorine in my pool? Weekly, so it's not nasty. Anything that you need to keep pure in your life, you got filters? Do you drink filtered water in your refrigerator? Do you change that filter? See, I'm not drinking water at your house. I'm not doing that, Mark. Doctor, how do we go to Mark's? Boil the water. Okay. God expects certain things from his real kids. If you're really his kids, then he really expects certain things. If you carry my name, there's certain things I expect of you. Right? Everyone who sins is breaking God's law. For all sin is contrary to the law of God. Say this with me. We cannot identify with what God calls sin. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. Oh, wait, that's confusing. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. You can't identify and make room for what he calls sin. I didn't put some of the scriptures in here I was going to put in, but I might refer to them just so I can give examples later. They're like, please don't, Pastor. Okay. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, here's the pause. When people refuse to make changes, when they keep planning on continuing sin, saying, I'm going to keep doing this, and I know God says it's a sin. I'm going to do everything else, but I know he hates this, but I'm going to keep doing this. He says, then you don't know me. It shows that we belong to the devil. Whoa, that stings. So, like, when he says, I'll pull one from the scriptures that I didn't put up there that I'll pull from later. If he says, don't be greedy, and you're known as being greedy, and you feel, like, a little good about yourself, that you kind of cheat people on a good deal, but that's just who you are, and you love Jesus, he says, you don't know me. You identify as a cheater, you don't know me. Well, I gave everything but this. No, you don't know me. When people keep on sinning, it shows they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. Say, eek. Eek, who are you? What side are you actually on? I thought you were on my side. Ever have that happen to you in life? You go along with a bestie that he's not your bestie no more? Go along with somebody you trust and you don't trust no more? Anybody put your hand in the air like you just don't care and say, hey, right? Happens, right? But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice. Boom. Do not make a practice of sinning. don't make a practice, they don't make a plan for it, they don't put it on their calendar, they don't go, hey, this is just what I'm going to do no matter what God says. They don't practice that. You're going to fall in it. Trying your hardest, you're still going to fall at times. All have sinned and fallen short. All. Right? So they can't keep on sinning because they're children of God. So now we can tell who are the children of God and the children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously does not love other believers, and does not love other believers does not belong to God. Wow. Who are you? It becomes a crazy question then. Who are you and what do you really rely on? I mean, really, really rely on. Those who identify with Jesus are expected to pursue righteousness. And that's not easy, but we're supposed to pursue it. We got to get a little better, you know. I had this New Year's resolution last year. You're going to judge me. It's okay. I'll look at someone that has a lot of grace for me, Marisol. I planned on being about 50 pounds lighter and a little more ripped this year. Last year, it was written down on a card. I set my garage up, Brownie. It's perfect. I went out there 8 times. I got to put some more effort if I really want change. That applies everywhere, doesn't it? Yeah. And this is crazy. We're expected to actually be at war with the sin that continually tries to master us. We're supposed to be at war with it, not going, you know, I think this Thursday, pop, 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 pop. No. No. Christians make no excuse for our sin. We keep pursuing godliness even when we blow it. Say, all fall short, but we can't all stay there. Right? Remember, Simba. Remember, Simba, who you are. We are listed with the saints. We are his images and we carry his name. Christians, 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 20 in the New Living Translation. You say, oh me, I say lots of things. Ever quote something you thought was scripture? You go, that's not, I looked that up. You're not, that's Dr. Heidi. What was it? Second, yeah, you know. You say, I am allowed to do anything. Now, I know, listen, I know Paul's probably not being snotty here or snarky, but I used to be snarky. I used to be. Cheyenne. I used to be snarky. So at times I hear snarky. So this came, when I first read this, a little snarky to me, like, you say. You know, he's about to teach him a lesson. You say, you know, that's how I hear it. Doesn't mean how it's said. I have issues. You say I'm allowed to do anything because I'm free, you know. But not everything is good for you. But not, yeah, I could do everything. Yeah, but is it good for you? Don't judge me. I'm not. I'm just trying to help. When it comes to knowing what is good, seriously, trust God's perspective. Go to the manufacturer. Can I use my vacuum cleaner as a hammer? You can, but it's not good for the vacuum cleaner, right? You can tell who fixes stuff at my house, Dr. Heidi, you know. But not everything is good for you, and even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. We're to be bondservants to God alone, but not slave to anything else. You say food is made for the stomach, and the stomach for food. Mark, get off the pancakes. Get off it. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. You can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They're made for the Lord. And the Lord cares about our bodies. He's a great dad. He cares about everything. Good dads care about everything. From grades to who your friends are, to how you feel physically, emotionally, spiritually, right? He's a good dad. And God will raise us from the dead by his power, just as he raised the Lord from the dead. I was going to put the mind-blowing thing up there, but that would get us distracted. That by itself is just, right? Can you think about that? Don't you realize that our bodies are actually parts of Christ? See, I am. His bride. Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and be joined to a prostitute? Say never. Disclaimer, if you used to be a prostitute and you've been forgiven, you've been forgiven. If you used to be a prostitute and you've been forgiven, then you've been forgiven. You don't walk around and go, you know what, though? I'm a born-again Christian, but I make good money hooking. Right? You can't identify with that. You got to leave that. I got delivered from that. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which has been part of Christ, be joined to a prostitute? Never. Say never. And don't you realize if a man joins himself to a prostitute, becomes one with her? For the scripture says the two are united, become one. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one in spirit with him. Now listen, because here's the point of this message, of this particular verse anyways. Run from sexual sin. Say run. Say run. Say run, Forrest, run. Run, Forrest, run. Right? Hey, don't cause sexual sin and don't give your special feelings or opinions about it. Well, it feels okay. Sure. Run. What did God say? But I like it. Run. Run. Run to prayer. Run to worship. Run to your Bible. Run to a friend. Just run. Maybe just get out there and jog. I don't know. That would help me. Say good advice, Pastor. Thank you. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual morality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Say, I am his dwelling place. Right? The Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. You don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. Christians are those who chose to accept his forgiveness and his way. So who am I? I am a purchased product. I've been purchased. I don't have a say. He bought me. That was the deal. You forgive me for everything? Yes. Wipe me from all of it, like even this one. And how about this one? I didn't really tell you this one to right now, but what about that one? Lord, you're going to forgive me for all that? You actually bore it on the cross and you took it away from me? And what do you want back in return? I just want your life, all of it. Actually, I purchased such a high price. I gave the only thing that was pure in the world. And it was slaughtered for you. Highest price was paid for you. You were paid. The most expensive bottle of wine doesn't hold a candle to the price that was paid for you. Right? It says, why? Bought for you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. Anyone want a healthy New Year? Like you're like, part of your New Year's resolution is to get healthy, right? Not eat more bacon. Except Panda. You can do that. Look to get God healthy in your relationships this year. Look to get God healthy in your self-improvement. Look God healthy in your sexuality. Get healthy spiritually. Get healthy emotionally. Get healthy physically. But here's the question. I think I have a slide. Here's the question. I want to print it in our head. Right? Did I put it up there? How are we using our purchased life? Am I a vacuum cleaner trying to hit a nail? Right? How are we using our purchased life? Are we using the life he gave us like he wants us to? Do we even ask him? There's a scripture that says, well, man said, I'm going to go to this city. I'm going to do that city. Did you even ask him? Well, why should I have to? Because you're dead. You've been purchased. You're actually a bondservant. You work for him. Our prayer request makes it seem like he works for us, but we work for him, right? Christians must identify by being united with Christ. And if that's true, then we are the ones who flee and we run and we fight against sexual immorality in our lives. We fight against it. We don't get the app. We fight against it. We delete the app. When the commercial comes up on Facebook, X out of it. Why'd you X out of it? Inappropriate. That's fighting. That's fighting, right? We don't vote for it or make excuse for sexual morality. We set ourselves to keep pure as we can. I'm not the purity police. I got enough work to do. right? We don't promote what God says is evil. It's the identity crisis. Christians must identify with Christ, not the world. That was our first syrup, right? Say, his word is good for me. Who are we? We are his children who try to live according to his ways. Anyone practicing Christ-like thoughts and ways? Anyone working on being like Christ? Excellent. Romans 6, 12 through 18. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument to the evil one to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God. You were dead, but now you have new life. Right? You use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. I'm getting to a place, say instead, right? Give yourself completely. Next verse. Well then. I just hear him snarky sometimes. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Say, of course not. Say, pish posh. Don't you realize that you become the slave to whatever you choose to obey? Anyone ever have an addiction? Don't have to raise your hand. Uh-huh. You're in a whole room of people to understand. You could be a slave to sin, which leads to death. Or you can choose. See, you can choose. Well, I was just born this way. It's in my DNA. It's my father was this. My dad was my grandma. You can choose. There's a lot of former addicts in the house. Get your hands in the air. What's God done? It's former. Pound for pound, one of the toughest guys in the world is sitting in the third row. And it's not because of his arm anymore. He's had to learn to be tough other ways. When your body attacks you, you got to be tough other ways. I'm just saying, nice to have Harold in the house. It's the way I've said, hey, Harold's here, you know. Woo, Harold's here. Okay, thank you. But now you have new life, right? Now you have new life. Who am I? Say, I'm dead. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin no longer is your master. Instead, live under the freedom of God's grace. Mr. and Sister Christian. Who are you? Say, I am free. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can keep on sinning? Say, of course not. Don't you realize you became the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You could be a slave to sin, which leads to death. Say, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Boom, right? Okay. They're not easy choices, but you got to make them sometimes. Trust me. Oh, can I pull over here? Dr. Heidi, you're here. This would be a good time for you to be in Uganda. Why? Because, all right, I'll tell, this is on me, not on her. But as we got closer to being married, Nana, cover your ears. Wherever you may be, I don't know, go, Nana, go. Like, it used to be like 2 months out from our engagement. I could go upstairs and kiss her goodnight in the doorway of her house. Up her dark stairwell. I was good. 3 weeks in, I had to be at the front curb dropping her off going, see ya, getting married soon. Why? Because she's smoking hot and I liked her. And God said, she's yours. I was like, yeah. But not yet. Dang. But now, see, you once were slaves to other things, but now we're slaves to God. Thank God we were once slaves of sin, but now, say now, I am the church. But now you wholeheartedly obey his teaching we have given you. Now you are free from the slavery of sin. You become slave to the righteous living. I got to slide what we learned so far, right? They're very important points. I am dead, and I'm a righteous slave. Say righteous. No, I'll say it like that. Righteous. Righteous. Okay. Isn't it fun? Okay. It's nice to clear up the confusion. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 17. But thank God he has made us his captives. Yeah, I need him to captivate me sometimes because I am prone to wander. He's like Wonder Woman with that lasso, Chauncey. Get over here. Yes, sir. You know? And continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us. Who are you? Say, I am captured and usable. I am captured and usable. Your story is usable by God. Not only is it usable, it's the vessel he's trying to carry his message to the world in. That's why it matters so much. It matters to him. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere. Who does he use? Yeah. He uses me to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere. I love this. Like a sweet perfume. Our lives are Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. Say this with me. I am a sweet smelling dude. Oh, sorry, girls. I am a sweet smelling child of God. Okay. But this fragrance is perceived differently. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those being saved and those who are perishing. Perception, right? God's way to clear up perception is to have a good delivery system sometimes. If you got a product you want to sell, it doesn't matter how good the product is sometimes, if you don't deliver it well. I'm going to go back into the scripture, but I have a slide I want to show you. Should be some sweet, sweet steaks in there. Yeah. All right, this is all the same cut of meat. Prime U.S. Angus, Texas grown beef. And I get this juicy steak, 100%, and I'm just going to beat it to death in a blender. And pour it out on the plate in front of you. You going to eat that? Only Andrew, because he's a freak. But other than that, Andrew's like, I would not eat that, Pastor. I will punch you. Or what if I got it like this and I chucked it at you and it bounced off the dirty kitchen restaurant floor. Skidded across, same piece of meat. It's good. 100% same steak. But I slid it through the dirt over to you. You're going to eat that? I'm sorry, Han. I don't want you vomiting back there. But what if I served it to you like the third picture? Now your mind's off the pancakes, isn't it? Yeah. See, how you serve a product matters. The problem isn't Jesus. Jesus is the greatest product known to man. Save our soul, change our life, but how we serve it sometimes affects the message. Right, it does. Right. Those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death. We can go back to the scripture, I'm sorry. Just making sure you assume you're not reading my mind in the booth, and that's hard for you. Those who are perishing, it says, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. You're a party pooper sometimes. You smell like a party pooper to me. But to those who are being saved, we are the life-giving perfume. Say this with me. Sniff my life. Sniff my life. Right? Also, here's a side note. Side note. It's like, it's a good time for a side note, Pastor. Thank some good perfumers in your life. Do you have a good perfumer, someone who smelled like Jesus and drew you? Everyone has someone like did a good picture of Jesus enough for you to give him an opportunity to change your life. Anybody not have that? Oh, wow. I had some great perfumers in my life. Like, I came to Jesus because a guy named Reverend Ken Brooks. He wasn't Reverend Ken Brooks. He was a guy I played basketball with and lifted weights with. And I saw how his life was changing. And I saw how God was doing things, and he invited me to church, and I got to see Jesus. That was amazing. But why? Because he smelled good. Not on the court. But his life smelled good to me. I saw it was real. You know, I can't get my shirt made, bite me, taste Jesus, but you know. Just saying. And who is adequate for such a task as this? It seems overwhelming to be like Jesus, doesn't it? It's like, oh, I can't. It's like, he did what? I'm supposed to do, oh my gosh. You see, we are not like the many hucksters who preach for personal profit. I'm going to preach Jesus so they can come to my company. I'm going to preach Jesus so they can come to my church. I'm going to take Jesus so I get a deal on this real estate deal. Hucksters. Say, we're not hucksters. We preach. Say, we preach. We preach the word of God with sincerity and with Christ's authority, knowing that God is watching us. Am I sincere? Am I sincerely who I say I am? Real Christian disciples, we got to be able to start saying that. And if we're not be able to say that, then we got to work on the things that keep the sincerity out of our life. Right. Does your life serve a great God meal? Are you sincere? John 15:15. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. See, I am chosen. You are picked out. It wasn't an accident. You are pre-planned, picked out by God to go, I'm going to reveal myself to you because I love you and I have mercy and I want you to see me. Because I didn't deserve it. That's what Mark and I up in the front row, we're worshiping. And I said, if everyone felt as forgiven as we do, they'd have no problem expressing love to him. I'm in love with him. Why? Because you don't know what he forgave me from. He rescued me. I didn't deserve nothing. I didn't deserve a family. I didn't deserve a life. I didn't deserve to hit 22. But God, I got something to sing about every Sunday, no matter where I'm at. Thank you, Father. Right? I'm chosen. That just blows my mind. I have appointed and placed and perfectly planted. So I am appointed and I am purposely planted. I am purposely planted. Sometimes you think, I shouldn't be where I'm at. If you're living the way God would have you live, you're right where you're supposed to be. Don't feel like it. I know sometimes. Right? So that, why am I purposely planted? So that we would go and bear fruit and keep on bearing. Say, I'm a doer and a goer, and I'm called to bear fruit, good fruit. Right? And that your fruit will remain and be lasting, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, as my representative, he may give it to you. That is what I command you. There's where we have trouble. No one likes to take commands at all. I have a temperament that I hate commands. I'd rather be the commander. Yeah, I don't like commands. That's the first thing he had to break with me when I came to Jesus. I had to be broken like a stallion. I was more like a donkey, but I can't, you know, I'd be broken. This is what I command you. I command you. I command you that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another. The best for one another. No, you don't save up the best piece of cheesecake for yourself and hide it in the refrigerator. Hey, Sabrina, I did that. It's dairy-free, and those dairy people wanted my cheesecakes. Step back, everyone. It's not the best for everyone else, you know. Who are you? Say, I'm unselfish. And I seek to better other people's lives. Is that sincere? Most of the time, it's about my comfort, you know. Anybody else? Sometimes it is. And I got to get my thought process changed to go, what's best for everybody else? What's best for other? What's best for Dr. Heidi? What's best for Noah? What's best for just what's best? Sometimes that's not what's best for me, but it's best for others, right? And he commands me to do that. Commanded to do that. This is a good place for a warning. Good. This isn't as brief as I thought it was going to be. Warning. If you and I continue to be the church, there's stuff that I don't want to surprise you. This is stuff to, like, the label on the back. Like, when I do, man, I put something together the other day at my house, and I was reading the instructions. It said 1, 2, 3, 4, Mark, and I got it, right? It took me longer than the average human because I'm not good. And then I flipped the directions over after I got it put together, and there were other directions. I started to freak out. I was like, what? It was for another thing, but I didn't know at the first. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not taking this part. I'm not even telling Dr. Heidi. I'm chucking these out. You didn't know there's other directions. Where's that screen? What screen? Didn't come in a box, you know? I know. I live with a builder, too. But I did it right. Dr. Heidi, it's okay. But I freaked out because I didn't read the back print. I'm a headline guy. Most of the time, I miss the details that are very important. Just me, okay. Here's a warning. John 15, 18 through 21. If the world hates you, and it does, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you belong to the world would love you as its own and treat you with affection. But you are not of the world, and you no longer belong to it. But I have chosen you out of the world, and because of this, the world hates you. Remember, say him, hey Simba, remember, there's reasons. If you don't know, we don't know who we are, we either forgot who we are. We got lost in the sauce somewhere. I started serving Jesus before you know it, man. My career took over. Before you know it, man, my relationship. Before you know it, man, substance abuse took over. Before I know it, I got lost in the sauce. I've forgotten who I was. So we either forgot who we are or we're running from who we are. We know exactly who we are and we're just running the other way. No one's ever done that, right? No. Or you're stuck on some kind of step. Remember the steps from last week? I got stuck somewhere and I just keep living the same thing over and over again, like Groundhog Day. It says, remember and continue to remember that I told you, a servant is not greater than his master, and if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Anybody ever felt that? Man, right after I became a Christian, going home for a family dinner was like a roast. Not like the kind you eat, the kind like people are just mocking you and trying to antagonize you. Like, watch, I'll get him to swing on me, watch. This Jesus boy, it didn't take long. I was not redeemed real well. I do too love Jesus. I'll get over here. I hit you with this table leg. You got stuff to work on. Boy, you know. Remember and continue to remember that I told you a servant is not greater than his master. So if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Why is that important? Not to be power tripping. This is why it's important. If they kept my word, they'll keep yours also. So be careful with your words. Make sure they're like his. Be careful with your words. Make sure. Don't say, well, God told me when he didn't say it. You know how often that gets misused in the church? Anybody? We've all seen it. If you've been around a minute, well, God said, well, I feel God wants you to. Listen, thank you. I'll take that to Jesus because I'm a Christian, so that means I know him. So I'll take the information you gave to me to the one I know, and we'll talk about it. Okay, but they will do all these things to you for my name's sake because you bear my name. Check this part out. Because you bear my name and are identified with me. Say, I identify with Jesus, for they do not know the one who sent me. I talked to you about feeling tension out there, right? God asked us to make room this year in our lives, to make room right in here. I'm so easily distracted. You know, just got to send a funny meme to me while I'm reading my Bible. What is that, Jake? Is that a llama on a skateboard? Before you know it, I'm checking out llamas on skateboards. I should have been reading my Bible. Man, airplane mode. You know? God asks us to make room in our hearts and our schedules. How about in making him priority again? It's make room time, right? So we're bearers of his name. Here's a big key. Christian identifiers are supposed to know him. Know him. Really know him. It's key. Who are you? Say, I'm the church now. So as the church now, here's what we're going to do. I would like to set up for communion. The communion is set up perfectly. As Christians, it's time to recall his sacrifice for us. If you identify as a Christian, I want you to recall this sacrifice, thanks, Jake, for us. And he asked us to remember him this way. He says, often you just do this, remember what I did. You know, it's important because we forget, right? We forget the sacrifice that was paid. We know it, but we forget it sometimes. And this is that time we come together as a group and go, yeah, we remember what he did. So if you're a Christian, that's a community sharing believers. It's also a great time, if you haven't got forgiveness from a fall, take a minute before you take communion. And say, Lord, I'm recommitting my life to you. Forgive me for that. And I'm going to start running from it today. man, what a great way to take communion. And you don't got to tell anybody, just between you and the one you know. But if you would like to take communion and you don't know him, you're like, I want that in my life. Yeah, you come up to me and we'll take communion together. Because there's nothing greater in your life that's going to happen than having Christ not only set you free, but come in and change you completely from the inside out. Nothing better than that, right? So maybe if you decide today you want God's plan, you want God's offer of Jesus, come up and pray for us. Now, if you go ahead and begin to take communion, I'm going to read this scripture. It's in Luke 22, 19 through 20. It's not back there, Bob. Luke 22, 19 through 20 in the NLT. It says this. He took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. Appreciative. Appreciative for small things. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces. Pretty symbolic of what was about to happen to him as the bread of life, right? To be broken for us. And the craziest thing, he gave it to his disciples. He broke it. He said, hey, I want you to have a piece of me. I never want you to forget me. Like, this goes into your life and it becomes, you are what you eat. And I want you to eat me so deeply that you actually become part of me. So bring it in, right? He broke his into pieces and he gave it to his disciples saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So when you take the bread, whenever you want to, in your own time, you don't have to wait for me or what those guys are discussing over there. What you have to do is just take the bread. And just remember that covenant. Say, Lord, this, you were broken for me. And I really want to eat you to the degree that you're in my life and be part of who I am and changing me from the inside out. And I'm recommitting to you and I'm thanking you. I adore you for it. And I encourage you to have that conversation. Just take the bread at your own time. When you feel that moment with God, take the bread. He said, do it in remembrance of me. And after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people. He's like, I'm changing stuff up. You used to have to do all this stuff. Like, don't be this. Don't do that. Don't be greedy. Don't be a prostitute. Don't be a cheat. Don't do any of that. And then maybe you could achieve some kind of recognition in God's sight. And he said, you know, you can't. This cup reminds you that I'm making a covenant with you today. I'm going to bear the sin of the world. I'm going to take your personal sin, and I'm going to take it onto my life, and it's going to make a covenant deal if you accept that. You're going to be my child forever. This cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. So I'm going to pray us out, and I invite you to take your communion at that time if you haven't yet. But search your soul. Whatever connection and commitment you make to God is your connection and commitment you make to God, and keep on making it. So, Father, we are your bride. We are your church. We are imperfect, and we are your children, and we are chosen. We've been pre-planned and planted. We've been dead and used, and we are free, and we are vessels for you to dwell in once again. Dwell in your church this year in such a way, Father, that it draws other people to the smell of you in us. In Jesus' name, the church said amen.